few weeks ago, we received an update from one of our missionaries that was sort of candid in one paragraph. And in that letter, according to their report, this was by far their hardest summer. Between growing family responsibilities, long days of ministry opportunities, and challenging real-life adversities, they struggled, they said, with weariness and even discouragement. Now, you know what that feels like, right? We are all at times tempted to give up in despair because challenges are so great. I mean, we live in an unjust world, and the temptation to give up, it's just too hard. It just seems to go on too long. There are just times that it seems you just can't take it anymore. Pressure builds and builds till you feel like you've just reached your limit. Well, we know what that's like. God also knows what it's like. And he assures us he's got grace available for every such time of need. Sometimes he listens in vain, waiting for us to ask him for his help. And on that basis, sometimes the help he has to offer, the gifts he would love to bestow, just don't come down. This is a serious problem because we do live in a world full of adversity. But Jesus has the answer to that, and he expresses this in the parable before us this morning in Luke 18. He presents the one response to the problems of life that always works. Always works. That sounds like too much of an assurance, too great of a guarantee. Well, not according to Jesus. It tells us in this paragraph that God offers sustaining grace. Grace to meet every challenge that you face. But you have to ask him. The exhortation here is turn to the Lord in prayer. Ask him for the help you need. Now, who doesn't know that already? For whom is that a surprise here this morning? And yet, at the same time, who's praying like they ought to? Yeah, there's a disconnect there, isn't there, between what we know we ought to do and what we actually get around to doing, finding time to do. Sometimes that seems to be a valid excuse. So that's why Christ told this parable. And we find out from Luke, who gives us a little editorial comment to begin in verse 1 of chapter 18. He tells us that prayer is urgent. There's an issue here. There's an issue that affects all of us because we all live in this world. The need for prayer here is urgent, and he tells us that explicitly. This is actually unusual. Ordinarily, we have to examine a passage of Scripture to be able to discern what's the problem here that this passage is here to answer. Well, Luke doesn't want us looking for the challenge and then to find the answer. He tells us both explicitly right up here up front. And he says he indicates that the problems are overwhelming. Jesus told this parable, Luke informs us, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. You see, losing heart is the problem. That's the human response to the challenges of life, to give up. I can't do it. It's too much. I'll just go along with the flow. I won't stand for the Lord in this case. Don't lose heart That's why Christ told this. The reality is we are engaged in battles that are beyond our strength. Our strength is deficient. The challenges are hard. The times that we have to endure are long. Failure is imminent. Failure happens unless you pray. So Christ told this parable to the effect that his disciples ought always to pray. Now, don't get discouraged already. Always pray. You know, I do have other things I have to do too. Well, we have to understand the word always here as Christ intends it. What he means is at all times, but not all the time. In every instance of need, but not every moment of every day, be praying. You ask for help, and then you use the grace he's given for that moment. But he says something here actually more earnestly than we can discern in our English translation. When he says, he told this parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. For us, the word ought kind of indicates, you know, you really ought to do this. But just saying it that way almost sounds like, you know, all right, it's the best thing to do, but you'll be okay if you don't, at least from time to time. That's actually not what the verse says. It says it this strongly, literally, it is necessary to pray at all times. It is necessary for your survival. It is necessary for your success in accomplishing God's work, which you have to accomplish in spite of the obstacles standing in your way. It is necessary that we learn this lesson and learn it well. Pray at every time of need. Pray as long as it is necessary, and it is going to continue to be necessary throughout your life. This is a lesson that you are never going to outgrow. You're never going to outlive the need to come to God regularly, frequently in prayer. Well, the missionaries knew how to respond as well, and their letter continued to say, that, and here are their words, so we prayed. And we found the strength to encourage each other. And by God's grace, we continued on. All right, well, isn't that a great thing to know that our missionaries are spiritually minded, biblically minded, they can respond to challenges the right way. But see, even missionaries struggle with that. Even missionaries can struggle with the factors in their lives. And it's not just missionaries, it's us too. So if prayer is so important, why aren't we better at this? Why isn't it possible for any of us to say right now, in anticipation of this study in Luke 18, why is it that nobody here can legitimately say, you know what, I think I've got this. I think I've nailed the prayer issue and I'm all set now. Is it because it's too complicated? Is this just too hard? I don't think so. The parable Christ indicates for us that the plan for prayer is actually quite simple. It's so simple, he just has two main points here in the parable itself. The first point is that you are much like the widow in this story. Men and women, whatever your marital status, you're a whole lot like this widow. Even the children in our church family are much like this widow. What are the characteristics here that parallel our circumstances? All right, well, this widow, as so frequently in Scripture, widows are portrayed as those that are helpless. They are dependent on others to help provide their needs. Widows had no other recourse. If they didn't have resources at their disposal, that is, if they were not independently wealthy through some circumstance, there were no jobs available for them. There was no public safety net that could care for them. A true widow was entirely helpless, with really no place else to go unless she had an advocate, a powerful advocate that could intervene to meet the need. Okay, this widow has an advocate. And the point Christ is making is that your need for help is just as desperate as this widow. We don't know what her issue was in this case. It may have been something financial. May have been a boundary dispute. Maybe a neighbor was trying to take advantage of her situation and trying to move the boundary marker so that more of the farmable land was on his side instead of on hers. And she saw it, but what can she do? She has to go to this advocate. These are issues of survival, not issues of inconvenience. These are issues she has to get resolved. And so with us, our need for help is desperate, and it's continual. Our need is ongoing. This widow kept coming over and over again. Now, we've already read through this passage, but it's just a few verses. Let's read together again verses 2 through 5. You notice there are no verses labeling the end of that point. You are much like the widow in your outline. It's because it's all interspersed, this and the next point. So let's just read it and then appreciate the parallels here. In verse 2, Jesus said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" She's not just looking for a handout, she's looking for relief. Relief from somebody who is causing her this adversity. "For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" That last phrase tells us she just kept at it. She just went to him over and over and over again. Okay, that reflects how often we need God's help. It is continual. So you are much like that widow, and be really helpful in your situation for you just to acknowledge that before God right now. God has provided some resources for me. I'm not like that widow in some ways, but I cannot face the challenges that are ahead of me in my own strength. It is not going to work. I need God's help. Second part of this parable, this is a parable of contrast. These are instructive contrasts. But just like we are like the widow, it's very important in interpreting this parable correctly to recognize that the other parallel does not work. That is, God is not like this judge. That's the whole point. If God was like the judge, then we could expect our request for God's help to just get denied. "No, no, I'm not helping you today. Stop asking me." His point is, God is not like this judge. So what is the judge like? What are the characteristics that come to the fore here? Well, we find out, and this is interesting that we hear it two times. Once from the Lord himself as he introduces the judge, and then again as the judge is trying to decide how he's going to respond to this widow, he says it to himself. So this is not a secret. This judge is notorious for being here in this description for being self-centered. And all he cares about is himself and being indifferent. He's stubborn. He's impatient. Now, I don't think we should picture this judge as sitting behind a large desk in a large room. People come in and everything has to be orderly. Far as we know, they didn't have such courtrooms in the cities of the Middle East. There may have been a place where the Supreme Court would meet, particularly in Israel, but not these city judges. This is just a position. It wasn't a place where he carried on his business. People that needed his assistance, needed justice, would have to go where he was. Where would he be? Well, they would find him at his home. What would he be doing at his home? He'd be doing the things he wanted to do. He's going about his own business. He's got this position. He's supposed to be interested in these people. He's supposed to be devoting time to meeting their needs. But he just doesn't care. All he cares about is his own things. So this widow is trying to get him away from the things he'd rather be doing. It's not that he, see, my point there is it's not that he is just denying this widow and send her out, bring in the next case, and I'll deal with that. He's responding this way to everybody. And so he's not sitting in a courtroom that's empty. He's at home going about his own business. But God is not like this judge. God is, in fact, the exact opposite of all of these characteristics. The Lord is tender and compassionate. He cares. He loves you. His passion for you is nothing less than absolute commitment to meet your needs, to help you through all of the challenges that you face. He's merciful, and he's long-suffering. It's actually something that's startling and even humorous in what the judge says about himself. He finally gives in verse 5 and says, I will give her justice, though he doesn't want to. And what's his reasoning? So that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. That phrase, beat me down, reflects terminology that shows up in the boxing arena. She'll give me a black eye, he's saying. And it could be that there's a feistiness with this woman. In fact, I don't picture her coming to the judge and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And he again says, no. So she shrugs her shoulders and walks out. My guess is that she had more words than that to say on every particular occasion, that she argued with him and she pleaded her case and finally went home and only came back again the next day. This is going to wear the guy out, he's afraid. And that is his only motivation to act. What is God like? He's waiting for you to come. He's wondering why you're taking so long. Why don't you ask me? Imagine God's heart as he sees you going through challenges, knowing you can't do this on your own strength. Why don't you ask me? I had an experience long time ago when I was in junior high. I had to ride a bus to get to school. That ordinarily went just fine. But one year we had a particularly crabby bus driver on the afternoon run that was taking us back to our homes. And I grew up in a small town, kind of not exactly rural, but all spread out. And he was just crabby every single day. And so you had the technique here, this was before the days of seat belts and so forth. When you were approaching your stop, you were to walk up and tell him. He needed to know you were on the bus that day. So yeah, here's where I get out. And every time a student would go up and do that, say, right, here's my stop coming up. See that house, that red house right there? Oh, man, he'd grumble and mutter, and he'd begin this laborious process of starting to bring this bus to a stop, and he'd bring it out of gear, and he'd start to apply the brake, and as if this was really putting him out of his way. And he would finally come to a stop, and it'd be like a couple hundred yards past the red house. I think his strategy was he hoped that not only would that student get off, but the ones that are going to be asking for the stop coming up, that they'd get off now too, and he'd accomplish it all in one. And that was actually the effect it had on us. We'd watch to see how close this was to where we wanted to go. Yeah, well, that's close enough. I'll just get off here. I don't want to have to go through that. Who wants to be asking somebody who doesn't want to respond? Okay, well, that was that judge. And the widow went back over and over again anyway. Christ's point is that God is not like that judge. You have never in your life asked God to meet a need when he said, no, why are you bothering me today? He's never responded that way. There's an interpretive key here. To make sure that nobody's missing it, let's just walk through this. The widow has a need, and only one person can help. So she goes to that person. Now, due to the judge's obstinance, the parable is limited to just one need. She had to go back over and over again because of his character, or lack of character, just to get that one request answered. But it's a serious problem for us if we carry that characteristic over into the application to the Lord. Oh, yeah, I know what that's like. I have this need, and I ask God for help, for his relief, and I ask him over and over and over again. Sounds like God is like this judge. But, you know, that is just a limitation of the parable itself. Because of who the judge is, the woman has to keep going back with the same request. Christ goes on, and we're going to get to these last couple of verses in just a moment, but he goes on to assure us that God doesn't work that way. There is never a presentation of need where God says no. Now, you're thinking, wait a minute. I think I've had that experience. I've asked for something, and I really think I need it, and the answer hasn't come. Well, no, you have to keep in mind that prayer always has to submit to God's plan. And sometimes it is God's plan that you endure a trial for a period of time. Sometimes it's an extended period of time. The request is legitimate, but from your perspective, from God's perspective, you've got to go through this. This is important. There's a lesson here for you to learn. There is something for you to accomplish by God's grace. But you see, even then, the answer is never no. The answer is, here's grace to sustain you. See, that's what Paul experienced when he had what he describes as a thorn in the flesh. God, would you remove this thorn? I mean, that's a graphic portrayal. Who wouldn't want to have a thorn taken out? And God said, no, you've got to keep that thorn in there. But here's the grace you need to endure it. Do you see how that's the answer? Yes. It's not no. God is not resistant like this judge, but he answers quickly. That grace comes immediately. That God bears long, and that's a phrase we're going to see in just a moment, means he never gets weary of you, of hearing you. He never gets weary of answering your prayers. It's not that he's bearing long and saying, not yet, not yet, not. Okay, finally. You don't have to wear God out. He bears long, meaning keep on coming with more and more requests. So the need for continual prayer isn't giving the same prayer over and over and over. The point here is you come to God every time you need something. It doesn't matter how often that occurs. God's not counting. There's no limitation. You can only ask me for 5 things in a day. No, you could ask him for 15 things in a day. And you will not exhaust God's patience. Let's go to these last few verses then, where Christ encourages us to hear what the unjust, the unrighteous judge says. And this is going to be an argument from the lesser to the greater. The unrighteous judge, pitiful guy. Hear what he says. And if that's how he responds and he finally gives in and answers, then what must it be like to be coming to the God of heaven? In fact, God is eager. He is ready to hear you. And when Christ says, hear what the unjust judge says, it's like, don't miss this point. Don't miss the important lesson of this parable. And so we ask this question, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Okay, now, once again, you might be thinking, wait a minute. See, isn't that indicating that you just have to ask over and over and over again for the same thing before he finally gives in? No, in fact, that's not the point. When it says, who cry to him day and night, that doesn't mean all day and all night and he finally gives in. It means you can go to God with your request any time of day, any time of night. He's designating that there's no exclusion period. There's no time when it's inappropriate. Whenever you need, you ask, and you get the answer. Whatever answer best accomplishes God's plan and meets that need. So he has the grace that you need. He chose you. He's patient with you and with each request, and he'll listen every single time. In fact, he is eager for you to ask. Will he delay long over them? Not a single time. He won't delay. God answers immediately. Christ gives us that assurance in verse 8. He says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. He answers every request. He meets every need immediately. This is God's promise. He will do his part. He certainly will answer every time you ask. This parable doesn't close with a very satisfying statement. In fact, it's kind of bothersome to us the way he does it. Wait, how do you end a lesson with a question? Okay, we want answers, not more dilemmas. But Christ ends this with a question. He says, nevertheless, in spite of how God is, in spite of what God promises to do, when the Son of Man comes, that's Christ, when he returns again, the event in the future we are longing for. Will he find faith on earth? What's he asking there? Will he find faith on earth? Well, who should he expect to have faith? Well, that would be his people. Will he find that his people trust him when he returns? Why does he even ask that in a question? Of course, we know we're going to make it ultimately, don't we? Really, what he's asking is, what are the prospects for survival for God's people? The prospects for survival in this vicious world depend entirely on getting the grace you need from God. So then what's the point of his question? Will you access that grace? Will God's people respond to the lesson of this parable and so many other lessons throughout Scripture and actually decide, I just need to do that. I need to ask him more often than I have been. I've been slugging along through too many things, trying to do it in my own strength. I need to ask him more. I need to present my needs to him more regularly. Because that is the only way there is going to be anybody still standing on this earth with genuine trust in God. The only way God's people make it is depending on him. So will he find faith on the earth? That's up to you. It depends on you asking him for the help that you need. Okay, what does that look like? Well, how about when you start your day, you acknowledge there's more to do today than I can possibly accomplish. God, I need your help, and I need your wisdom to know where the priorities are so that if I really can't accomplish it all, I know which things are most important. What do I need to do first? Okay, you want to be making that decision on your own? That's not a good idea. Start each day asking for God's help. And you might already have a good idea of what the challenges are. But no doubt, if your days are anything like mine, you don't know what's coming up that day. And so as they occur, you ask him for more help. And this can be, not all these things are going to be life-threatening, but if the next thing you have to do requires you to get in your automobile and drive to a different location, then it would be pretty important for you to have the car keys. What if you can't find the car keys? You can ask God. Now, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. God, where are the car keys? That might work. I think that might work just fine. When you have a witnessing opportunity at work, and you get to a point in the conversation where you're thinking, what do I say now? What does he need to hear? What is that verse? Okay, real quick, eyes open prayer at that moment. Ask God to help you. You see how this could easily develop into 10, 20, 50 times in a day, looking to the Lord, God, would you help me with this? Christ assures us he will help speedily. He's going to answer that need. Some time back, there was a young woman who decided to go swimming in a lake. There were other people there. There's a lifeguard on duty. She couldn't swim, but she could see other people where they were standing. It looked like it was okay. Eventually, she found herself out going out too deep. And she got in over her head. And she drowned. The tragedy of that event is that there were people there able to help, ready to help. There was a lifeguard on duty who felt so badly when they eventually found her and realized what happened. But as they questioned various people, they realized nobody ever heard her call for help. She didn't splash around. She just went under, and that was all. Nobody even saw it. She never called for help. You don't know what challenges you have coming up this week. Do you know what we do know? You're going to need God's help. That means you need to ask. Oh, but what if I forget? You know what you can do right now? You can ask God to help you remember. You can ask God to help you take a sense of utter dependence on Him right into the busyness of this new week. God, help me to turn to You every time I need Your help. He'll answer that prayer too. Would you tell Him that right now? Let's bow for prayer. Take a moment to respond to God's word as is appropriate for your circumstances right now. Father, we thank You that what Jesus teaches in this parable about You is all true. Thank You that there is no limit to Your patience, there's no limit to Your love, and there's no limit to Your ability to meet the needs of people. Father, we ask for Your help then to access that grace. We would learn to turn to You regularly every time there is another need, and the full confidence that You are always going to answer. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.